Okay, Rabbi Lubin said to me, I shouldn't say a shmooze, tell jokes, tell some stories. You didn't say that before, Rabbi Lubin. You can't change the conditions. First of all, I want to say how great nachas I get when I walk back into the yeshiva. You see the changes, new faces, new paper, wallpaper. I mean, new everything looks brand new, Baruch Hashem. New table, Baruch Hashem. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. It's tremendous chizuk to me personally. And if all of you understood a little bit more what great value you have, I think it would be a tremendous chizuk for you in your own learning. When I say great value, so many people, like today Nebuchadnezzar and how hard he worked and to build, and to see how many people and how many efforts. I just think that, you know, as a Ben Torah, we all try to interact with a world that, you know, somehow seems to be a little baffling. The value system is different. And sometimes we get a little intimidated. It's not a shmooze, Rabbi Lubin, but I remember, and Rabbi Lubin will correct me, I hope, the interaction between the Raglim and the Kenanim, the Chen Hoyinu Be'enehem, that they projected. They projected a inferiority, that they were interacting with a world that they saw, they knew what these guys looked like. They looked like giants, but how do you know how people look at you? And it's very, very important for Ben Torah when he goes into the world, whether he's stam walking and talking to people, whether he's trying to interact with them in any level. You know, sometimes we feel, you know, for reasons that are sometimes explainable, sometimes it's hard for me to explain, and you know, we feel you know, challenged how to interact with an outside world. And the truth is, there's a lot to be learned. We learn a lot about ourselves when we, you know, interact. You know, Marshall, you have a kid brother, and he pushes a button. Of course, none of you ever had this, but I had four brothers, so we had a labor-dicker relationship. We had a hands-on relationship. And, it took me a couple of years, like till I was like 50, I realized that sometimes you can learn something from a relationship when somebody gets you upset. It's not him you should get upset about. What did I do in my interaction with that person that perhaps he triggered something in me, and, you know, and I can't control him maybe, but I can control myself. There's so much to be learned in the world of interactions, and sometimes when we get intimidated by people or circumstances, situations, there's also tremendous, you know, we gotta learn. There's constantly so much that, you know, the great Gedolim, when they walked on the streets and they were learning, they were not just walking. There's a constant ability to take in from the outside. So there's a couple of we call them tricks. Some of it has to do with a sense of humor. You know, you can't take yourself too seriously. Sometimes we overreact to, you know, we get too nervous when we speak publicly, or even when we talk to somebody that's not from. And today on the plane, a guy starts shmoozing me. I really was very tired. I don't want to talk to this guy. You know, he's a goy, right? And he's talking to me like I'm his best friend. You know, it's, you know, he's a developer and he's this. Of course, if he's rich, I would hit him up for some money. You know, so should have done it anyway, right? But Lamaisa, you can get so much when you learn how to, you know, be comfortable with people. You learn how to talk to people. You learn how to listen to people. We sometimes, you know, put ourselves into a Rabbi Sorel Salanti said, I learned this in the Rishiva Zatzal. I went with the Rishiva one time. I went to the voting booth up on the Crescents near the Rishiva Zatzal's house. I remember sitting, I made an appointment in the Rishiva was going to vote. First of all, he knew every single candidate. He knew every one of the amendments or whatever it was. He studied him in the Rebbetzin Zichrono Lebracha, sat with him and gave him articles and to read this, read that. He spent time. It wasn't just, you know, just a vote, you know. But he took a lot of it very seriously. And he took a decision, you know, Achrayus, to try to do what we could to help L'Hagdol Torah L'Adira, even in voting. So he walked into the voting booth and he would say good morning to these women. Okay? Well, I don't think they were Jewish. Good morning, and how are you? And just very very nice, very pleasant. And when he went in to the voting booth, Rashiva Zatzal was, it was, his hearing wasn't too good, so I didn't feel uncomfortable. I said, do you know this rabbi? He says, no, but he comes regularly. He's always so nice to us, and he always speaks to us so pleasantly. He's a worker, you know, like that, the high level, you know, plain, simple, nice ladies, you know. And just the way he interacted with them, and the way they responded. So I said to Rashiva, I said, Rebbe, you know, Rashiva makes a Kiddush Hashem, and he walks in, and he sees it, even these plain Goyish ladies in the neighborhood, they appreciate. Rashiva said to me, in his humility, he said to me, but seeing every Ben Torah, wherever he goes, and Yisrael said it, I don't remember where he says it, every Ben Torah, when he goes somewhere, makes a roshim, makes a positive, hopefully a positive roshim, on his surroundings. What a Ben Torah is, and the greatness of Torah, and that you're sitting, you're steiging, and this great yeshiva, learning from such great Rosh Yeshivas, it changes you. A person's a Ben Torah is the difference between him and the rest of the world, is the difference between excuse the expression, an animal and a prince. You know, it's just a day and night difference, and people see it, people know it. Even Goyim who see it and recognize it, it's just and he kind of not arrogant about it. Oh, I'm a Ben Torah. It's just the navel kind of certain sweetness in the emus. That's chein oyinu be'ineihem. That we have to know a little bit that's the koach of Torah, and that's to recognize what it is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, a shebocha arbonu, he chose us, he gave us this great gift, and we're learning it, and we're living it, and it changes us. And it creates in us such sanctity, such special, such kedusha, that it makes an impression on people, that they see it, they recognize it, and it's something that's palpable, something that, you know, it's discernible to them. We don't see it, because maybe we take it for granted, we see it, and maybe... The Emma says, if you're really discerning, you look around the Beis Medrash, you know, from the beginning of his mind, towards the middle of his mind, end of his mind, you're not the same. I mean, you're not the same, your chavrus is not the same, and it doesn't mean you change your chavrus three times. But it's not the same, it's not the same person. It's not, well, maybe it's too close, you don't see it. But I see it over the years, in the Talmidim we had over the years, and you see that it's a sorrow to see it. It's really a pretty powerful lesson to physically be able to see the rosh in a person, and you know, to tell his nifter, you know, he's a very nice person. But he's, that person, he saw something in the B'nai Torah. You're from Yopoka, but you weren't here that long that you know who I'm talking about. There's a family. Maybe you will, but okay. I don't think it's a bad thing. Okay, if it, whatever. Nobody else is here from Boca, right? That's up north. So not that far north. There's a guy, a family. I would say he was a very nice, from Balabas. Well, I learned a little bit in YU and had a nice business. You know, and of course I got to know him because it paid for me to get to know him. And I befriended him and I went to visit him a few times. And then, after a couple of years of visiting him, he had nice little kids. They went to one of those modern day schools up there. We didn't have a school up there then, right? See, he's buying a house on my block. Now, I lived in North Miami Beach for a long time. It's a beautiful neighborhood. I don't mean to chas v'shalom disparage it, but it's not Boca Raton, right? When I say it, it's more simple, humble. We love it, we appreciate it, Baruch Hashem. But this guy had a house. It was unbelievable. I mean, gotta see some of those homes, right? Almost nice as the Goldberg house, right? Yeah, I mean, really, a beautiful home, and he's coming to the neighborhood. And I said, Nebuch, he must have had a Yerida. That's before the stock market crashed and before everything on scale. I went over to him, I said to Shmerel. No, Shmerel's in the room. How are you? Great, Baruch Hashem. I'm so excited, moving to the neighborhood. Is everything okay? How's business? Better, never better. So why are you coming here? So Shmuel says, Rabbi Chait, you sent us a group of your yeshiva guys for Shabbaton, and I never learned Chofetz Chaim. I don't know anything about it. And I see the Edelkeit, I see the Midos, I see something about him. And I said to myself, I want my son to be like that. And I know where I live, again, it's an old, long story, but in that neighborhood, Boca, it'll never happen. I felt that was important that I see my children, my sons. Now he's no longer in the neighborhood, Baruch Hashem, you know, went elsewhere, well, you know, Milan Kodesh, and Baruch Hashem. It happens all the time, and people see it, and people recognize it, people are impressed by it. It just happened to me last Shabbos, somebody comes over to me, it's just, you know, people see it. You know how many yeshivas, I mean, I don't do anything. I send guys out for seed programs in a crazy place like Las Vegas. What made Las Vegas? What made the yeshiva in Las Vegas? Right? And nothing to do with any of the schmutz there. And it always sent seed programs there, and it went for a couple of summers. And Baba Batim saw it and recognized that there's something of great value, and they want it. They want it for their children. They see it. There's ambassadors. A person who walks on a bent Torah is an ambassador. He's a walking, talking ambassador representing the Kedusha of the Torah, the beauty of Torah, the dignity of Torah. And he has to see it. He has to walk around like that. He has to dress like that to a large extent. Of course, I don't want to start up something that, you know, you have to recognize the importance, and you have to recognize the beauty and the opportunity. And Kiddush Hashem. Wherever I would go out of town, and I would ask Rosh Rebbe, what should I talk about? And he told me, you know, whatever community, Imamship is unbelievable. Sometimes this is a community that's challenging to in this way, you have to talk about this. That. Once he says to me, just go and talk about making a Kiddush Hashem. I realize that sometimes it's just so powerful, so profound. People see it, people are energized by it. There's a very, very lonely, empty world out there. I want to tell you, especially now, people are devastated economically. It could well be, I shouldn't say this, but this is an opportunity for mamash being mashpi on people. They had what they thought was answers. They had what they thought was a way of life that was superior or proper and correct. They have nothing. They can't rely on the money. They don't have Nebuch family life. You hear stories day and night. Mamash, unhappy children, kids at risk, you families that are struggling with shalom bias issues. Yeah, people are struggling. People don't have midos. People don't understand what Musar is. They don't understand the power of the Torah that we... And you guys, Baruch Hashem, to some extent, you know, and you're continuing to grow in this area, are growing to understand it and to appreciate it and to represent those values. And they see you that way. They look at you like the big giant. Do you think that there's big, rich businessman? I went to see a guy, I don't want to say what city, and of course I'm trying to hit him up for money, but I don't know, I try to connect with people, as you understand, you know, that yes, of course I need their money, I need the yeshiva needs, and it's a mitzvah, it's an opportunity. We'll live without it. Okay, we have been doing so for many years, and we'll continue to do so. But sometimes they just, you see a person, and you start listening to a person. See, the difference between a person that's hung up by himself, he's too busy thinking about himself, not the other guy. It's just an opportunity lost. Forget about yourself. There's a guy sitting there, whether it's on a plane, whether it's in a store, he could well be a person, a needy person. A person that's, you know, lonely or struggling with something. Everybody struggles today. I mean, people struggle with me, those issues. People struggle with family issues. Everybody struggles. And to see somebody who is passionate about a value system, I have a meaning, I have a life, I have something that brings me pekudi Hashem Yishoyim Sam Chilev, a happiness and a simcha that exudes a simcha sachayim that's so special. They don't have it. A sick, miserable life. It's just not normal to see it. A crazy, crazy world getting crazier. You know, kids don't talk with any dignity to their parents. Parents don't talk. I'm trying to, a very nice example of it. The kids are the ones that are running the families today in the world, you know. It's just so sad. I'm hearing this guy talking about his And you know what? It's everywhere. It's invading the Torah worlds and values that are destroying the quality of life. Baruch Hashem, that's how lucky we are in that we have a system that's proven, that's tried, it's true, and the power of that system. And we're growing. Of course, we're not perfect, but we're learning to understand it and appreciate it. So sometimes when you're not hung up on yourself and you're more focused on the next person, you reach out, you listen. So this guy's talking to me. Of course, I'm ready to ask him for a big donation. And he starts telling me about his family. And I listen to this guy. It's not a joke. For 6 hours. 6 hours. Okay? I was going to tell him I charged by the hour. But I didn't have to. I didn't have to ask him for money after that. The guy was ready to give. Why? Because he just had an opportunity to talk to somebody who listened. And I listened, I was an empathetic. That's all. What did I do? I didn't do anything. But to do a chest like that, to hear somebody, yeah, if you listen to this guy, you know, I don't tell you his name, Mr. So and so, he's all right. Oh, I know that, right? He's well known. I'm sure. The lonely people, I don't care how rich a person is, he's still human. He's still just a person who is rich, who is famous, who is powerful, politicians, they don't have what you have. They don't know what you know. They don't realize what you realize. And they can benefit from something, an interaction, and to push it. Just to recognize, you know, it's a chesed wherever we go, and it's a situation where we can accomplish so much. You know, it's not every day, you know, for Hashem, you stay in the basement, you hope for dinner, and, you know, I'm not promoting anybody. That's good. You know, but there's a great, beautiful world out there, and opportunities today more than ever where people are so hungry for hadracha. Hey, Mama Shahar, they just don't know. I don't want to say too much, but I was in a shiva house tonight, and the people asking Rav questions. He says, I don't know. Okay, I was impressed. He says, but, you know, it's okay not to know, he says. Right, why? Because the Rashi says, Eini Yodea, and if the Rashi can say Eini Yodea, I can say it too. Idiot. Rashi, who call it Torah Kula, and if he says Eini Yodea means something, you say Eini Yodea doesn't mean anything. Who are you to say Eini Yodea? He says, oh, thank you very much, you don't know. I knew you didn't know. What are you telling me you didn't know? People listen to that. I said, where's the substance? Where's the values? You know, I'm proud I don't know. Okay, this table also doesn't know. I'm not proud of it. I feel sorry. It's good to admit you don't know something, but to make a speech that I'm proud that I don't know. I don't know why I went there. I know I went there. Hey, listen, because you see, people want to hear, they want to understand, they want something. They want to hear, they want to learn, they want to grow. You know, they want to listen to someone who has a value system, has a beauty in life, that has meaning. I meet a lot of people. You meet a lot of, come to a lot of situations, and as I said, sometimes people push your buttons and get you either aggravated or annoyed or anxious, a little nervous. And stop. Why am I nervous? Why am I angry? Why do I feel uncomfortable? So there are people that are just nervous people and make you nervous. I was traveling with a guy in a car, and this guy was making me so nervous. He said the most oddball stuff. My mom was ready to stop the car, kick him out. I mean, I was about to lose it. My mom was shot. I said to myself, my wife gets so upset when I say this over, but I just knew his name was true. Please help me. I just don't want to say something wrong. He's just different, very different. and I not everybody gets along with every type of person. This guy is just... I said, you know, what would be... Nebuch, the guy, had Tourette's. Tourette's syndrome is a terrible disease. It's like, a guy says stupid things and doesn't mean it. Just, right? I said, well, make Maple Leaf for the next 3 hours. I'm stuck in the car with him. Then he has Tourette's syndrome. Right? And I started laughing myself and I released the tension. pshat is, I'm not saying it's a good, but yeah, there's a tension that comes out when you're dealing with people that, and why? I don't know why. Maybe because the fault is in me. So yes, there's different people that you interact with. You got to learn. It takes a lot of work to learn how to find a way to break through whatever that is and to still continue a dialogue. So if you don't like him, or he's a nerd, or he comes from Brooklyn. Whatever it is, everybody has weaknesses. I mean, there's got to find a way. We're both saying that's the challenge. The challenge is to learn to address him for what he is and try to find a meaningful way of doing something to get around the roadblock. If it means making a joke or making light of it or finding at this, you know. Or breaking through the nervousness, it's a tremendous tachbula. Just don't look at it as him. Look what I can do to be able to create a meaningful Kiddush Hashem. I have a chance here, and there's an opportunity for me to talk to someone now who's placed in front of me. I didn't ask for it. Okay, I didn't ask for the seat to this person next to me, and then he's that. Yeah, chance, I'm going to talk to somebody and needs a little whatever it is, and you have to learn how to get through, get around, you know. In New York you have a lot of potholes, okay, and you learn, and you're driving, you keep on going through them, you got to learn how to get around them. That's life. You circumnavigate the distractions, and you learn so much. You can learn so much from people. You can learn so much about yourself. That I have a weakness, I'm insecure, I have a flaw, that I'm jealous of this guy. And sometimes, if a guy, Harusa, a certain guy, maybe to open his mouth, and something bothered me about him. I figured it out. Yeah, the guy's smarter than me. Okay? And he has the answer before me. And it may not be in a conscious level, you know, but somehow, if I stop and say, why is it that guy makes me upset? Because he's always quicker and sheer and gets something in there, you know, and it bothers me. Now, it's good that it bothers me to some extent because maybe it can motivate me, but if it bothers me in the wrong way and I say something, it's Maharam Rashi used to say this, life is like a living laboratory of Musar. You can learn to experiment. And mamish, every interaction, in yeshiva too, it doesn't have to be outside, you're learning to experiment with your own midos, your own interaction, and you can grow just by a little simple conversation, you know. I said something insensitive. I didn't dare. What? It was. I say sometimes, you know, we all do. We sometimes say the stupidest things. Stop, I said, why? You know, I said something terrible. The Rebbe's yahrzeit is this coming Shabbos. Rebbe's Olam Shalom. My first daughter is born. I said to her, Baruch Hashem, had a medela, and her name is Chana Bracha. Right? So Rebbe's Olam Shalom says, see, that wasn't your grandmother's name. Your grandma's name was Chana Pesha. So I said to her, Rebbitzin. I didn't realize it. I said, Rebbitzin. My grandmother, Lev Shalom, told my father right before she passed away that the name Pesha is not such a nice name. And you shouldn't use that name. It's a burden on a child. It's not a nice name. And I wasn't catching. I was talking to her. I was so excited. I was living my own life. I said, oh no. What did I just say? I mean, you can't say anything stupider, right? But she was such a special lady. She says, you know, your grandmother was a very smart woman. It's a difficult name to walk around with, right? Just, you know, instead of getting embarrassed, she's the finesse and the sweetness and whatever. It just impressed me. That's great people learn to take awkward situations and find a way around. Why? She wasn't focused. She didn't feel offended about it. Didn't bother her. Why? She had Baruch Hashem the strength of character. It bothered me. And you know, God, okay, so I learned a lesson, you know. Why? Because I wasn't focusing in on her. I was so happy. I had a kid, Baruch Hashem, you know, and my own sibling. You can't lose sight of somebody else. You live in your world. What about the next person? You know, that's true when you're angry and you get upset and you say something. You can't lose sight. That's the brum. That's the beauty of a laboratory, is to judge and analyze and to think and to be able to see the next person in spite of or in considering all of your situations and circumstances. The great people can do that. Great people always did that. There's stories, you know, people that I saw and experienced, they were able to, you know, take their own circumstances, situations, and completely. Like I had a dialogue never when my nephew Rafalzev was very, very critically ill in some very difficult shailas. And so I asked Rabbi Feinstein many of these shailas. And he, for whatever reason, there was one very hard shaila he just refused to answer. He said, we don't, you know, never somebody's not conscious and different halachic responsibilities and very, very complex. So we don't get help with these real, real tough shailas. And so we need, you know, the hadrach, you know. And I said something to him. I said to him, well, the reshiva had a relative in my circumstance and situation, what would he do? He says, we're not the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't know the answer to these questions. He said very calmly. The next day I found out that his sister passed away. That was a stupid thing. I didn't know. I was, you know, more emotionally. So I went to the shiva house and I asked him for mechila. It's insensitive. Somebody else's go through a tsar, you know. Mom, okay, she was older, you know, but my nephew, the sweetness, the nihimus, it's very hard when you're emotionally, you know, attached to something. It's very hard to deal with these things. I felt like so, like, yeah, the way the gedol and the great people just did. They're not focused on themselves. They just don't see their own world. They're connecting to you, when they're connected to Shiva. That's how it was, like that. It was just enormous. No matter what he was going through, it was just, he was able to detect and understand and see something about a person. Something's not right. He could see it. He had his own problems, his headaches and world, you know. That's not an excuse. You know, the great people learn how to put their own world in perspective and in balance. They're not overwhelmed with their own needs. Hey, Mr. Helps is going to have it's a lot of, you know, bitachon and a dorchad achinam. They live in a world, but they're able to connect with people, to mean, you know, be able to see and sense other people's needs. It's just, you see that, and Mubosai, that's the laboratory. You learn how to experiment with their own midos and their own character, and be able to develop a relationship, a meaningful relationship with people. It's a caring, empathetic relationship. That, you know, that's what a manhigim, great people do. That's what a rebbe in a classroom has to do. He has to know rebbe's in a lot of shomer. You know, it's again. She said to me, "Said Messian, you're a rebbe when you could see that a child in your classroom is in need. You can sense it." You know that he's wearing a different shirt, same shirt 2 days in a row. You can see that. You know that he's something's bothering him. You can start to sense something about him. But he's not talking about ruchnis. He was talking about the gashmias of somebody. You can start to physically recognize and sense the need of other people. That's the sign of a rebbe. That's what caring rebbe. It's the rebbe we knew. It's the rebbe that we were exposed to. That's the rebbe we're zocha to have. And I know that's the rebbeim that you have, of course, and caring, compassionate, and sensitive. But we both say it's something we need to learn from. It's something we need to grow from. Wherever our lives take us, we're going to need to interact with people. You know, unless, you know, like to sit in a room with a computer all day. You know, but still for yourself. I mean, there's so much beauty and understanding of people, understanding, you know, where a person's at, and you find an opportunity to say the right dog will be itomato. If you see somebody and it's a little bit down, you give a smile, you give listen, I don't want to say the name, but he's one of the most respected Rabbanim in the Chabad Chaim system. He told me recently, he said, my father saw him once outside yeshiva in Queens, in Forest Hills, and he had just lost his father. My father didn't know that he, my father looked at him, he says to him, whatever his name is, also Shmuel, right? Something's bothering me. What's going on? He sat with my father. He didn't know my father that well. My father had left the yeshiva many, many, many years earlier. And he sat with him. He says, you don't understand. He sensed something. He was intuitive. Like, his legacy of my father, Baruch Hashem, is, you know, that's part of his chesed. He has that intuitive sense and as rav and as a compassionate person. He says, that time, I just needed somebody to talk to, and he was there. He saw that something was bothering me, and he recognized it. And he just was able to relate. It was such a great chesed. To this day, he sees my father. He's, you know, and I'm telling you, he's a very, very chesed person. But everybody has needs. Everybody has moments where you need a word, a kindness, and the special people have the ability to recognize it, have that intuitive sense to be able to look into somebody and see somebody else in need, and seeing that. Their own needs, see somebody else. There's another person, he has some circumstances, situation, that I could be helpful, I can give a kind word. Start to look for that, start to sense that. I don't mean just die. Don't you have a problem? Can I help you? I mean, don't be a. I mean, just, but try to, you know, pick it up. And somebody's not in such a good mood, you know, and you see it. Then somebody reacts, you didn't see it right away. But mostly it's just such a golden opportunity to grow and to develop. You know, an intuitive sense. It's a caring companion. Shlomo Melch said when he was kicked off the throne, and he was taken into a house, and somebody, a rich guy, gave him a beautiful meal, and then he says to him, "Oh, what was it like to have been a king?" And it was the whole meal just couldn't eat because the question wasn't asked in a sensitive way. You know, it was terrible. He was kicked out of his throne, and somebody asked the question in a flippant way. It was insensitive. And Shlomo's reaction was that if you cared for me, you wouldn't have asked the question. In other words, caring people try to be considerate of the person they're talking to, recognizing their sensitivity, recognizing their you know, there's a hole in somebody's heart that you feel, and you recognize, and you're able to. It's such a great gift. You see, the person can do that, but it comes really from not being hung up on ourselves. Listen, we're important, but not that important. Something else is equal, if not greater importance. And we sometimes, and especially in an environment, and I'll tell you, it also bothers me. Maybe I'm super sensitive to it. Sometimes the yeshiva guys get a little bit too casual or sarcastic and a little cutting, and you know, sometimes that's just, you know, that's only bad meters. It's just, you know, you can't be too comfortable, you can't be too callous. You always have to be constantly gauging and analyzing. You know, it's like a monitoring system. You know, am I giving off positive relationship and meaningful relationship, or am I saying things that are, you know, just sometimes with people are clueless. Sometimes you can't teach them. There's a seichel in a world of reaction and interaction with people that you learn. There's a refined. It's a science. It's an art. It's maybe it's a bad word to use, science, but it's seichel. How to talk to people? How to look and listen and to, you know, take in and to watch. You know, it's a chance right here to do it. Do it in a meaningful way, and doing it in a way that can help you grow and become greater than you were. But you have to forgive me, I'm a little tired, but I walked in with like three stories I just forgot. Give me a second. I can't remember. You have to forgive me. I owe you a story. But there is a great vista, windows of opportunity that the person, like my nature, maybe I'm a more schmoozy person, you know, somebody that's a little more shy. It's a beautiful thing, and it's not a bad thing. But even he can, you know, sometimes when he senses someone else, senses another person's needs, you know, don't think, because this is just, we label ourselves, we put ourselves into a hole. It's really, it is related to it. We put ourselves into a cat. Oh, I'm a shy person, I can't really do, and I, you know, and it gets to, it's probably, you know, harder for a person who's shy, a person naturally more gregarious, more outgoing. But, if you realize its value, you realize it's an opportunity, you realize it's something you can do that's so great, you find a way. You find a way to overcome. You notice somebody will benefit. Somebody who can, you know, and you will benefit just to change. You know, somebody that's a responsive, sensitive, interactive person. And I can become, and I can change it. Don't start limiting or labeling. I am this way. Okay, that may be. But it is not only a great chesed, it is a great opportunity for you to develop yourself. And, you know, Adam HaSholem is always looking to grow, looking to take on a challenge. And if I care, and if you're shy, and it's something that's hard for you, you know, you can ask, or show late, or maybe too embarrassed. But to say, okay, why am I so shy? Why am I so, okay, that's true, maybe not in nature. Maybe I don't taka the hair where I can be helpful to somebody, or I can be, you know, responsive to somebody else's need. Why don't I see it? Somebody else is there. You know, last summer in camp, I said to the counselors, they said, you know, you see a kid and he acts out, you know, don't just, you know, whatever. Stop. Why is this guy getting angry? Why is this guy reacting? Try to ask the why and see what you could do to help him with the reporter issue. Don't just, you know, respond with a band-aid. There's a person great need. It's this person, you learn how to listen to people. You learn how to respond to people. You learn how to sensitize yourself. Like, what is he saying? And a person just, you know, isn't just, he's giving you a window into himself. He's trying to, you know, he's to tell you something. Don't listen to the words. That, you know, sometimes the words are insulting. Sometimes words are... Try to listen to the inner self, or the inner being. What is this person? He's unhappy. He's uncomfortable. Or he's... Whatever it is. And if I can try to help him with the... You know, just, you know, listen to the words. The guy said something. Oh, he's... Okay, fine. So you walk away and that's it. And then an opportunity just to do something and work with... Just boom. It's just, you miss it. Try to take it and deflect it, and try not to take that person to this or yourself. Wait a minute, there's a guy. He's acting out. You know, there's a young high school kid, and of course, it's finals. He's stressed out. Okay? They finished with finals here? No? Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of guys studying. I never see that unless it's finals. Right? So there's a couple guys, and he's sitting there stressed out. And, you know, so hey, when the guys get stressed out, It's just first of all, you recognize this tension. You try to steer away from it. You don't say things that are, you know, and you try to, you got a lot of high school kids running around here, right? You still do, right? So when they get out of here? You're not counting the minutes? Huh? When are they leaving? Thursday. You're counting the minutes. Well, Hashem. It's just Ashrechem Atok Chalkechem. You have such great opportunities to learn, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to create bonds, meaningful relationships. I'll tell you, I'll end with one story. I have had, even in this great yeshiva, some very challenging talmidim. And this one is way before your time. And, you know, look, you win some, Nebuch, you lose some. This is a guy who was literally of the top 10 arrogant Talmidim I ever had. Completely
You know? Gotta say, here, knock it off. God dare you. Just very, I mean, the kid came from a terrible, shalom bias issues in the home. Father and mother just were very, very tough people. Kid was a tough kid. He, nothing. I mean, okay, you know, you can't win whatever. I absolutely was convinced that this kid I had zero influence on. I can't tell you I liked him. It was very hard. He made it very difficult. He was angry. He was combative. He was just not nice. Okay? Big, tough kid. I can't say where I saw him, but I saw him at a point where I was, leaving town, and I happened to be here somewhere. And I said to him, I want you to know I'm leaving town, and I want to say goodbye to you. He pulls me to the side. He says, Rebbe, you probably are not going to believe the story, but I tell you this is a true story. He says, I was in seventh grade, and I was a tough kid. I said, yeah, you only know the half of it. I said, I was a tough kid. I know you tried very hard, and I know you gave a lot of effort, but you don't think you penetrated. That's true. You're right. He says, let me tell you one story. You saw me talking during Kaddish. You pulled me over and you spoke to me very caringly. I might don't remember it. It's not like I'm walking around and saying, gee, I did, I'm asking for a raise. It happened. I walked over to him and I said to him, Shmero, I realize that this is very hard for you. Davening doesn't come easy, and talking during Kaddish, it's a challenge. I took out a $10 bill. You understand, it's a long time. $10 was a lot of money. That's how long ago it was. I said, I'm not looking to bribe you. I just want you to understand, this is important. That's great value. Much more value than this $10. It's a training. It's an attitude. It's recognizing there's such a thing called Kedusha. You know, Kedusha, and the words, Yehei Shmei Rav, are very, very powerful. You may need them one day. If you learn how to utilize the power of Tefillah, it could be a great tool for you to have in your future life. I want you to have this. Again, the $10. The seventh grader. He said to me, Rebbe, you probably think you didn't make a roshim on me. But I tell you, as of that day, I made up my mind I'm never, ever talking again during Kaddish. And I never did. And he took the time out to show me how important it was and expressed it to me. So now I talk during Kedusha. I don't talk during Kaddish. I see it's important. I see my Rebbe took out his time and said, folks, I just don't know where you penetrate. Somebody, you just take a... Sometimes the kids are tough, and sometimes parents are tough, and sometimes people are tough. But they're people with sensitivity. They do have feelings. And there is a way to penetrate. There is a way to get into them, just caring and loving and meaning. You mean it. It's sincere. It somehow gets through. Okay, this guy's now a Bala Bus. I asked him for like $10 back with some interest. But I got it back many, many times over. Baruch Hashem, you can have a hashpa on somebody. You can make it, and sometimes the toughest ones are the most meaningful, because from them you learn the most. I wasn't angry at him. It was so easy for me. I could have gotten angry talking to Kedusha. What's wrong with you? And you can say things. I've heard some really dumb comments made to people, and both from the chanchim and parents, and they're so hurtful. And so, but you can say the opposite is true. It's so meaningful words when you said to somebody at the right time, in the right way, and it can make through, and it can break through. You can change people, you can change attitudes, you can make subtle, sometimes significant differences. But don't ever underestimate the koach of a ben Torah to make a roshim. And please, Rabosai, recognize the value you bring to people, and the joy, and the meaning that you can and do bring to so many people by your presence, by what you're doing, the Kiddush Hashem. Maybe should give you Siyata Dishmaya. They should learn to recognize the value that you have, to appreciate it, to try to amplify it, to try to augment it, to try to utilize it in the most meaningful way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Thank you.